Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
There is the need for them to know about the Lord's church. Because of certain things that take place, it is obvious that many people, too many people, have been immersed in water, but did not at that time have any comprehension whatever about what that did to their relationship with the church. And it is because they were not taught concerning the church. And we see this manifested, for instance, in a number of ways. I think I told you some years ago, I went to a place to hold a gospel meeting. About a year before, they had had what they called a campaign in which it was reported 96 people had been baptized. And that sounded wonderful. I had been to that place for a meeting previously, and yet the congregation was approximately the same size, maybe not quite as large as previous times. And I inquired concerning that large number that had been baptized, and come to find out that with most of them, well, in fact, there was only one family that was still meeting with the church after less than 12 months from the time 96 people had been baptized. Which was quite obvious that they had not been taught concerning the church, whatever. Many of them had continued to attend the denominations to which they had belonged before they had been baptized. Others who did not attend worship services anywhere continued not to attend worship services anywhere or fellowship with the brethren. And sometimes, and we approached some during that week, and they said, well, I was converted to Christ, not to some church. And so with this, it is quite apparent that they did not have a proper understanding concerning the relationship and responsibilities that they were undertaking upon being baptized into Christ, particularly with respect to the church. Brethren, it's a grievous thing to take a person part way and then drop them before they have sufficient grounding in the knowledge of the truth. Two, for probably the purpose of reporting numbers, encourage people to be immersed, and they go therefrom with a sense of spiritual security when in reality they have not been converted to that to which they need to be converted. I would remind us that when Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria to preach, he preached Christ and His kingdom. Not Christ apart from the kingdom, not the kingdom apart from Christ, but Christ and His kingdom. The kingdom, of course, is the Lord's church, as we learn from Colossians 1:13 and a number of other passages. Philip obviously taught those people whom he baptized certain things pertaining to the church. We would stoutly contend that one cannot preach Christ without preaching His church, nor can one preach the church, except in so doing he is preaching Christ. And this is because the church is the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the body. Colossians 1 and verse 18. How can one preach the head and ignore the body? And why would one exalt the body and ignore the head? When you urge people to become a member of the body, you necessarily have to preach the head. And which you preach the head, you don't preach the head separate and apart from the body. Therefore, when we say we convert people to Christ, you're converting people to the body of Christ as well. Because when one is baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27, he's also baptized into the body, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. That's not two baptisms. That's the same baptism. And people need to understand that upon their baptism, they're coming to Christ, yes, but they're also being added to His body. And people need to understand that Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. The reason for preaching the gospel to people is that they might be saved. You do not properly preach Christ and salvation without letting people know that to which they belong when they are saved. As we mentioned this morning, concerning why sometimes people linger and wait. They need to understand what they're doing to be sure, but when one obeys the gospel, he is added to the body. He is added to the church. This idea of preaching Christ and not the church, or being converted to Christ and not the church, stems from the indoctrination by denominational teachers that salvation is separate and apart from the church. That you get saved, quote unquote, and then go and join the church of your choice. Well, that's not biblical teaching. In fact, that is false doctrine. And it's a misrepresentation about the church. For when you obey the gospel of Christ, you are thereby saved by the blood of Christ, and you at one at the same time are added to the body of Christ, which is the church, the company of the saved. When we lead people to the waters of baptism, we should do our utmost to make sure that they understand that upon being baptized, the blood of Christ, not the water, the blood of Christ cleanses them from sin, but they are also then and they are added to the church. People also need to understand that the church is not a denomination. This is a problem. This problem of denominationalism is really a matter with which the apostles did not have to grapple, because denominationalism sprang into being a long time after the church was established. It was primarily through the apostasy developed into Roman Catholicism, and later on through the Protestant Reformation, that we have the multiplicity of denominations in the world today. And people, and they say one church is just as good as another church, we could agree with them if they would say one denomination is just as good as another denomination. Because they are all of human origin. And it has been a tragedy even among brethren that some are timid to emphasize the very cardinal biblical teaching, there is but one church. Our Lord only established one church. We've already noted the church is the body of Christ, and Paul said there is one body, Ephesians 4 verse 5. The scripture does not say anything about the existence of denominations. The scripture condemns the very divisions upon which denominationalism feeds and propagates. God's people are non-denominational, undenominational, and if they are biblical, they are anti-denominational. And to teach people to do something that will bring them spiritual security, and to leave them in such a state as to, obviously, as some have been led, that they can continue on in this human church of which the Bible says nothing, is to do them an injustice. It may swell our ego to think that we have been able to lead someone to the water, and we have numbers to point and to count and in which to boast. But we have probably deceived that individual to such a point that no one else will ever again be able to arouse them concerning their salvation to lead them to a proper conversion to the things of Christ and His church. You can't separate Christ and His church. Christ is the King of His kingdom. You cannot preach the King and ignore the kingdom. Nor do you honor the kingdom by ignoring the King. They go together. We need to understand that when one becomes a Christian, he becomes a child of God. Christians are the sons and daughters of God. They make up the family of God, or, as biblical speaking, the household of God. The house of God is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And therefore, when one obeys the gospel, he is born into, spiritually, born into God's family. Well, what is God's family? Well, you're not born and go and choose the family of your choice. You're born into God's family, and God's family is the church. People need to understand that. That they become thereby a member of the church. There is no salvation apart from Christ. There's no salvation out of the body of Christ. There's no salvation except you're a citizen in the kingdom of God. There's no salvation except you be a son or daughter of God. But when you are those things, you're in the church. Because that's what the church is. As a result of false teaching, many people have drawn a line and have separated between salvation and being the member of a church, of the church. But the Bible does not make that kind of distinction. And we ought not, for the sake of our own souls, for the sake of the truth of God, for the sake of the glory of Christ, and for the sake of those precious souls in whom we show we have an interest in their spiritual welfare, hesitate. In a kind way, but make it plain and clear that the church has nothing whatever to do with denominationalism, and those in denominations are not in the Lord's church and are not faithful in the Lord's church. There is a reasonable element of people among us of the more liberal and digressive sort who are running around the country now contending that they are faithful Christians in all the denominations. Friend, that's not possible. That is intellectually impossible. It's spiritually impossible. That is dividing your loyalties and dividing your interest. Faithful Christians are not in human religious organizations. Faithful Christians belong to the Lord's church. So people need to know, when they're taught concerning Christ, what the church is, and really, I shouldn't say what, because that puts it almost on an inanimate connotation, is who the church is. Who is the church? Why, it's the company of the saved. And we glorify God in the church, Ephesians 5 and verse 21. And people need to know how to become members of the church. At the same time, realizing that the way you become a member of the church is the way that you are saved by the blood of Christ. And brethren, it's because we sometimes have not done a very good job with some people along that line. There be many who will soon drop out from worshiping with the assembly of God's people. There be those who still continue to think that they can continue on in the religious associations and fellowships of which they are a part. Well, how much does one need to know about the Lord's church before he's obedient to the gospel? Let's understand that when a person becomes a Christian, he is born. He's a babe. He's a child. And there is of necessity growth. We are to strive for spiritual maturity. We are to continue to be taught. One need not necessarily have to know the government of the Lord's church before he can scripturally obey the gospel and be counted among the saved. To know that there are elders and deacons and all the qualifications of the elders and deacons and so forth, he need not necessarily know all the work of the women in the church. These are things that come with study, things that come with growth. But he does have to know the relationship between Christ and the church, and you don't separate the two. Because if he doesn't understand that, he may well be immersed, and you may never see him again. He may well be immersed and think that he can continue on as he has been in his religious associations. And if that be the case, he may well be immersed and leave feeling quite secure. And then when you come back to him and say, "Now, let me tell you the obligations that you've undertaken pertaining to the church," he wants no part of that and will likely not even listen to that. And will likely tell you that, "Well, I didn't know all of that was involved. I wouldn't leave my Lutheran church," which was the kind of church that this 96 people for the most part were that were baptized. He didn't want to leave the Lutheran church. They'd been in that church all their lives. Their foreparents had been a member of that church. If I had known that, I never would have allowed you to baptize me. Well, we should not have immersed them through deception or through a lack of sufficient information that would continue to allow them to exist in situations that the Bible simply would not authorize whatever. So this is one of the problems that we have sometimes in dealing with people. Brethren, let's don't be ashamed of the church. I know that there are things about the church of which we all can be ashamed, and maybe I'm one of them and you're the other one. Let's don't try to present the church to people as if this is a body of perfect people, because that's not the case. When we are born into the family of God, we're still human beings with faults. At least you've got them, and I've been informed that I've got some. And we're not going to be sinlessly perfect. And we do not make a defense of the church in making a defense of all the human elements that compose the Lord's church. The misgivings, the frailties, the weaknesses, the lack of knowledge, the subjection to temptation and so forth, that will continue to abide. But there's a difference between a saint and a sinner. A saint is a sanctified, made holy, cleansed person that is a member of the body of Christ, his church. It's not that he's perfect in every respect. He will err, and he will continue as he walks in the light. The blood of Christ will keep on cleansing him from sin, just like the blood in your body will keep on cleansing the members of the body so long as they are attached to the body. But a sinner that has never come to Christ is different, because he's never come in contact with that blood. He's never been a part of the body. He doesn't belong to that which the body cleanses, or which the blood cleanses. Let's not be ashamed of the body of Christ. Paul said one time, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, the gospel preaches Christ. You can't be ashamed of Christ. And the gospel tells us of the church, you can't be ashamed of the church. And the place of the church in God's scheme of things. One of the older gospel preachers among us on one occasion was asked, could you say in one brief phrase, what is God's system or plan and scheme of redemption? How would you summarize the whole thing? And he simply said, the church. And when you understand how one becomes a member of the church, what one does to become a member of that body, what that relationship is with God, that's not a bad answer. It is by the church that we come to know what Paul called the manifold wisdom of God. The very existence of the church, the saved, is an expression of God's wisdom in saving man. So this is one of the problems and one of the matters, the doctrinal matter, teaching matter, that we must get across to people as we seek to save their souls. They can later be taught concerning what scriptural names. They can later be taught possibly concerning the work. They need to be taught that they have the responsibility of worship. Opportunity will be afforded, no doubt, to be able to teach them concerning the way that the New Testament teaches for the church to worship. But we must get across the unity of Christ and the church. This is the only matter that I intend to bring to your attention in this part of the worship tonight. But this is a matter that really confuses a lot of people because they've been brought up in a denominational context. That's all they've ever known. That's all they've ever heard. That's what they see mostly. And to tell them there's one church, sometimes people say that's mighty narrow-minded, mighty bigoted, mighty self-righteous of you. No, that's just teaching what the Bible teaches. And to show that there is salvation in the body, in the church, that's so contradictory to what so many people have been taught that have not yet searched the Scriptures. But brethren, if we, with genuine love and concern for their soul, and take to them the Bible, and let the Word of God do the teaching, and show them these things, they may not accept it, but we would pray that they would. But when they accept it, they will not think they've just joined some club. They will not think for a moment that they can do just whatever they want to do. They will know in a minute they cannot continue to be just whatever they want to be. They will realize the opportunity now to count the cost and to assume their responsibility and begin to discharge it before God. And this is our responsibility. You have not obeyed the gospel, therefore you are not saved yet by the blood of Christ. You are not yet a part of that body that the Lord said He's going to save. Our Lord has promised to come again. We know not when, but He will come again. And when He comes, He's going to deliver the kingdom back to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. That kingdom is the church. That's who's going to be given back to the Father. People need to have that taught to them so that they can, when the invitation song is sung or whenever they are persuaded, they can properly respond to the gospel call. Him and repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him and be baptized into Him. Be it known, this is God's way also, not only of saving your soul, bringing you to Christ, but adding you to His church.